I didn't realize when we finished off last week what perek we were up to. So this perek is a bit complicated. It's going to relate what's probably a well-known story, which I'll have to go through in detail, of David and Bathsheba. The simple understanding of the perek is, I guess, in one direction, and when we have the Torah Shebaal Peh, it goes a bit in a different direction. And it's a bit hard. So my thought is this. And my thought is we're going to go through the perek. We're going to stick more to the way the perek seems. And maybe next week we will revisit the perek and try to understand this. Because I just feel like this is a perek that we can't really do justice to in half an hour. And we'll try to understand it through the prism of Chazal. Assuming that we do that, then please don't draw any conclusions between now and next Thursday as to the conduct of David HaMelech, as it's, again, a bit complicated. So let's look. It's a Perek Yud Aleph in Shmuel Beis. We saw last time a battle that David did not really want to have, right, with the king Hanun. And he was trying to be nice, and it didn't work out so well for David. The king of Ammon had passed away, and in the end, David was forced to use his strength and wipe out the mercenaries and the people of Ammon. And that brings us to Perek Yud Aleph. So the Navi tells us like this. Again, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Aleph. Vayehi l'tshuvas hashana le'eis tzeis ha-melachim vayishlach David es Yoav es Avadav imo ves kol Yisrael vayashchisu es b'nei Amon vayotsuru al Rabbah v'David Yoshev Yerushalayim. So what is this Pasuk telling us? That's right. It happened to be that it was l'tshuvas hashana. What is tshuvas hashana? So it's that the year is turning. What does it mean the year is turning? So the Mefarshim understand means that it's the nice season outside. Some understand that it was in Sivan, and it was a time of year when there were a lot of crops and people and horses. Everything was outside. It was again a nice time of year. Why is that important to tell us? I mean, it's always nice to know if the weather is nice, but why is that important? So we'll see in a moment. So what happens? It's the Eis Tzeis HaMelachim. It's a time when the kings tend to go out, and they see what's going on. And there are battles that you need to fight. Obviously, it's easier to fight it when the weather is better. And David sends Yoav and his servants with him, and the Bnei Yisrael, Vayashchisu was Bnei Ammon, Vayetzur, they wiped out Ammon, and they besieged Rabbah, and David was sitting in Yerushalayim. So again, it doesn't tell us why this war was necessary. It could be just part of the, you know, pushing people out of Eretz Yisrael, where they were supposed to be. It is our land. And David sends Yoav and the officers out. He sends everybody out. And David is sitting in Yerushalayim. Why is this pasuk important? What is this pasuk trying to tell us? So the Malbim comments that what the Navi is highlighting is that David should have been with the troops. The role of a Melech Yisrael is to be together with the troops. It wasn't that he was not davening for them. But he wasn't doing anything that he needed to be. It wasn't that the weather was bad. There was no reason. Again, last time, in the previous parak, he did not go out to fight. But he said there was a reason. He didn't want to give them the street credit of saying, oh, the king needs to come out to fight against us. But that doesn't seem to be that was the case here. And it's a bit of a criticism of David HaMelech. And it could be that that is the background to the next part of the story. Now it's not clear exactly right when Pesach Beis happens, right? We normally would assume Pasuk Aleph and Pasuk Beis are not too far apart, but that's not always the case. So, Pasuk Beis tells us, Vayihi le'eis ha'erev. Vayihi le'eis ha'erev. It was towards evening. It was towards evening. Now again, presumably this is right afterwards. There's really no reason to assume otherwise, but there are some farshim that assume that this was not immediately afterwards. But from the rest of the story, there is reason to suspect that it was around the same time. So David goes out in the evening. Vayakam David me'al mishkavo. And David gets out of his bed. What does he do? Vayisalich agag beis hamelech. He goes up to the roof. To the top of the palace. Why? I don't know. If you're in Yerushalayim and you have the opportunity to go out to the roof and look out, why wouldn't you? Right? It's not such a who doesn't enjoy looking out from the heights and look out at Eretz Yisrael. So again, he was looking at it's his kingdom. It's Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh. So again, I don't think it's so surprising that he was up on the roof. But he goes up to the roof. He's walking around. And he sees that there is a woman who is bathing on top of another rooftop. And the woman was particularly beautiful. Okay. There's a machlokes in the mefarshim whether she was bathing on the roof or whether from the roof he was able to just see the place where she was bathing. I don't think it makes doesn't make such a difference, right? The Radak says he ra'o sami al hagag shayzer rochetzes bibbeisa that she was in her home. But either way, what happens now? Vayishlach David vayidrosh la'isha, and David was obviously somewhat taken by this, by the appearance of this woman, and he wants to find out who she is, and he sends out Vayidrosh l'isha and tries to find out who she was about this woman. Vayomer halozos bas sheva bas Eliam eishes uriah hachiti, and he gets a full identification and finds out who she is. She is the daughter of Eliam Hachiti, of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah Hachiti. Okay. So, the simple understanding is what we do know. Again, we don't really know who these people are necessarily, but what we do know is that she is a married woman, right? She is married to Uriah Hachiti. So, what happens next? Vayishlach David Malachim. And David sends out messengers. Vayikacheha. And takes her. Vatavo ve'la vatishkav imai. Brings her to the palace and he sleeps with her. Vihi miskadeshes mitumasa. Vatoshav el beisa. She was not impure at the time. It could be some of the first you understand that was why she was bathing. That the bathing was actually she was in the mikvah. I guess they had mikvahs by their houses, as whenever you go on with any tour guide in Israel, they can find a mikvah every two blocks. I have no idea if they know what they're saying or not, but they certainly there's a big hole. Oh, that was a mikvah. So there was a mikvah. So she was in the mikvah. So David took her, and she was tahora at the time. And he's together with her, Batosheva Besa, and she returns home. Okay, but that is not the end of the episode. Again, already it's problematic. Okay, so she was Tahora, but she was a married woman. So it doesn't help too much that she is Tahora. So what is what's going on here? But that's not the end of the story. Vatar ha'isha v'tishlach v'tageid l'David v'tomer hara anochi. She finds out that she is pregnant, and she sends a message to David saying, I am pregnant. Now, They did not have, DNA, paternity tests or anything like that. But she just went to the mikvah. So she knew she was not, she knew she wasn't pregnant. And now she was. And she sends this message to David, presumably saying, what would you like to do now? Right? Ball is in your court. So what does David do? Vayishlach David el Yoav. So David sends a message to Yoav and says, Shelach Eli Esuria Hachiti. Vayishlach Yoav Esuria el David. Now, the Pesukim had not told us earlier, really, where Uriah was. Right? It told us that she was married to Uriah. It was never revealed to us that he was a soldier of David HaMelech, but that becomes clear right now. And from this pasuk, it's clear that David knew that all along, right? Because right away, when he gets this message, he knew to call to send the message to Yoav, and he'll explain to Yoav momentarily what he should do. And so he sends a message to Yoav. Shlach Elias Uriah Achiti, send Uriah to me. Vayishlach Yoav es Uriah el David. Yoav is a good general. The king says, send this soldier home. So you send the soldier home. So Uriah is sent back to go to the king. He has no idea why. Vayavo Pazig Zayin. Vayavo Uriah Elav. And Uriah comes to him. Vayishal David l'shlom Yoav l'shlom am. So he inquires, what's going on the battlefront? You're out there fighting. Right? How's Yoav? How are the soldiers? How's the supply? Supply chain, whatever issues in terms of the battle. V'lishlom ha-melchama, how's the war going on? So again, it would seem to be the same war that we were referencing in that opening pasuk. Vayomer David le'Uriah, and David says to Uriah, Reid le'beischa urechatz raglacha. Go home, wash yourself up, wash your feet, relax a little bit. Again, it probably is taking Uriah a bit by surprise, because he doesn't know why he's coming home. He's in the middle of the war. David isn't giving him really any information, and tells him, "Okay, you get a day off. And Uriah leaves, and not only does Uriah leave, but David sends Mas'as HaMelech. What is Mas'as HaMelech? It sounds like the load of the king. Rashi says, Su'udasa de Malka, a royal feast. He sent food, he sent wine. And again, it seems to be he wanted to make her comfortable. And it seems to be he was hoping that she would be in a good mood and he would be together with his wife. And then, when it turns out that she's pregnant, it will appear that they're going to put the pieces together. It seems like that's what David is trying to do, and it will seem like the child is coming from Uriah. But the plan doesn't go exactly as it's supposed to go. Pasuk tes. Vayishkav Uriah Pesach Beis Hamelach Eis Kol Avdei Adonav V'lo Yarad El Beiso. Uriah doesn't go home. He lays down at the entrance to the king's house, where all the servants are laying down, and he did not go home. Didn't even, as far as we know, he didn't go and say hello to his wife. Why? He'll explain in a moment. It had nothing to do with that he thought something was going on and he wasn't trying to help David out. Vayagidu leDavid leMor, as they told David, Lo yarad Uriah beso. Uriah didn't go home. Vayomer David el Uriah. So David seems to be calls Uriah to come back, and he says to him, "Halo miderecha taba madua lo yarad beisecha. You came back. You haven't been home in a long time. You have your wife at home. Why wouldn't you go home?" Vayomer Uriah el David, and Uriah goes to David, and this is probably hits David at his core. Ha'aron v'Yisrael v'Yehuda yoshim basukos. V'adoni Yoav avdei Adoni al pnei asadech onim v'ani avor b'si l'chov l'shtos l'shkavi mishti. You want me while the Aron, the Jews, everybody is camped out in huts, with Yoav, my master, and all the army. Everybody's fighting for their lives. And you think that with all of that going on, I'm part of them. I'm with them. And I'm going to think about going home and having a feast and being with my wife? It's inappropriate. Chayecha v'chei nafshecha im ha'eses davar zeh. By your life, I swear I will not do that. I will not do that. Now, as much as Uriah's logic may be compelling, not a good idea to talk like that to the king. Not a good idea to talk like that to the king. Again, it certainly seems to be a rebellion against the king. And that may play a role in how the rest of the story rolls out. But Uriah, again, felt that what he was saying was compelling, but he may have gone a bit overboard in the language that he used in talking to the Melech. Vayomer David el Uriah. But David responds to him, he doesn't yell at him. Shev bozeh gam hayom u'machar, gam hayom, stay with me today u'machar ashachekah. And tomorrow I'll send you back. Vayeshev Uriah b'Yerushalayim b'yomahum nacharas, and he stayed that day and the next day. Vayikra lo David, vayokal fana vayesh vayeshakrei. So David figures, while he's there, I will give him to eat and to drink. Right? He can't really refuse that in my palace. And then, when he'll be in a different mood, because, again, he'll already have had what to eat and what to drink, then presumably he'll want to go home. And he went back to his, for lack of a better term, we'll call it his cot that was outside with all the rest of the slaves of the king, and he did not go home. And David knows now Uriah is not going home. So what does he do? Vayhiva boker, and it was in the morning. Vayechtov David sefer el Yoav vayishlach biyad Uriah. David writes a note to Yoav, folds it up, closes the envelope, and says, give this to Yoav. Uriah has no idea what it says, and like probably any good soldier, he's not going to open it up and peek inside. But he's going to follow his mission. As far as we know, Uriah knows nothing about what happened. He is being a loyal soldier, loyal to Yoav. I'm sure he's confused about why David brought him back. But there's no reason that he thinks that what we're about to read is written in the letter, is written there. So what does this letter say? Vayichtov basefer lemor. It says in the letter saying, Havu es Uriah emul pnei hamelchama chazakah. Send Uriah out to the most severe, the front, where the battle is the strongest. Leave him there, withdraw the rest of the troops, and he'll die. Wow. Wow. That is quite a letter that Yoav sends to Uriah. Yoav is probably going to be confused at this point as well as to what David is thinking, but as we'll see in a moment, Yoav is also a loyal servant of David, and what the king says to do, you do. The Vayihi Bishmor Yoav El Ha'ir. And as it was when Yoav was besieging the city, Vayitenes Uriah El Hamakom Asher Yoda Kianche Anche Chayol Sham. So I guess as a general, you know where the battle is more heated, where the stronger forces are. And he knew that the stronger forces, Anche Chayol, were in a particular part, in a particular section. And that was where he sent the army. Vayitzu Anche Ha'ir, and the people went out from the city, Vayilochamu Es Yoav. And some of the soldiers in the army were killed. Vayamas gam Uriachiti. And Uriah dies in battle. He dies on the battlefield. Vayishlach Yoav vayagei de David es kol divrei hamelchamam. So Yoav, and again, presumably Yoav does this at other times as well. He sends reports back from the front to the king to let him know how the battle is going, how the war is going. And that's what he does here as well. He tells him, Kol divrei ha-melchama, everything is happening. Vayitzaves ha-malach lemor, the malach, meaning not here an angel, but the messenger that he sent back, he told him, Kichalosecha es kol divrei ha-melchama ledaber ha-melach. When you finish telling the king everything that's that has to do with the war, because that's the most important part of your message. If the king seems to be a little bit agitated, we lost soldiers. Why did you go so close to such a dangerous city where the army was so strong? Didn't you know that they were going to shoot down from on top of the wall? You guys are a professional army. He tells some sort of story that happened about the Melech, who's the son of Gidon. And again, when he was in a battle, they threw something on top of him in the wall. You never go close to the wall, right? It's like the worst position that we are, that you could possibly be in terms of being surrounded by, in terms of trying to attack the enemy. So what were you thinking? So if that happens, Lama Nigash Malachama V'amarta, you're going to say, Gam Avdecha Uriah Hachitimes. Then you tell him, he didn't want to make it too obvious, he didn't want this messenger thinking that the only purpose of the information was about Uriah dying, but tell him that Uriah died. The messenger came and told David, everything that Yoav had sent him to report. And then the messenger said to David, the other army, they were stronger. They came up against us. They overpowered us. And they went out to the field. We went after them to the gate of the entrance of the gate. And then they fired down on us from on top of the wall. And there were soldiers who were killed. And again, not exactly as Yoav had said, right? Yoav didn't say he had to say it right away, but it was the same order, but he didn't wait for David's response to see if David was upset. But then he tells him, "Gam Avdecha Uriah Hachiti Meis." And Uriah died as well. Okay, what's David's reaction? Vayomer David al Hamalach. So David says to the messenger, Kosomar al Yoav. Go back to Yoav and tell him as follows. Don't feel so terrible about what happened. Kikazo v'kazo tochalachar. If it happens that there are losses in war, hachazig mechamtecho aloir v'harsav v'chazkeo, strengthen your offensive against the city and destroy it, and encourage them. Okay, now we shift gears for a second. Right, there's another person here, right? Bathsheba just lost her husband. Right? Vatishma eshes Uriah, kimes Uriah isha. And the wife of Uriah, again, it's probably not coincidental that she's described here as the wife of Uriah and not as just by her name, Bathsheba. Again, has to do with the broader context of this story. And the wife of Uriah hears that Uriah died. Vatispo al bala. And she eulogizes her husband. Vayavor ha'evel vayishlach David vayasvel beso, in the time of the Avelos ends, and David takes her and brings her to the palace, vatilo li'isha, and he marries her, vateled lo bein, and she gives birth to a son, to David. Vayirah ha'davar asher asa David be'enei Hashem. And what David did was bad in the eyes of Hashem. Okay. So again, as I mentioned, the simple reading of the psukim here has two major problems for David HaMelech. One is his relationship with Bathsheba, who, again, on the surface of the psukim, is a married woman. And two is being responsible for the death of Uriah. Now, the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that Kol Omer David Chata Eino Elotawa, that David did not sin. And that is going to require going back through the Perek, through another lens, and trying to figure out what did we miss. Now, the Gemara obviously knows this last pasuk, that God wasn't happy with him. But God not being happy with him does not necessarily mean that it rose to the level of sin. It could be that, sometimes things, what is a... Varon Soloveitchik, I remember, used to give a parsha shir in yeshiva, and this guy would feed him the psukim. It was towards the end of his life, and he was really couldn't move much. And an old Talmud would and they used to like push his buttons a little bit to and asking him his questions. He was a little bit of a nudnik, and he asked him some sort of shayla, and Varon was. It wasn't giving a clear answer whether it goes as if it was a mutter or usser. And the guy finally goes, Rebbe, tell me, is it mutter or is it usser? And Rav Aharon finally yells at him and goes, not everything that's mutter you should do. And he closed the thing. And he had enough. So sometimes there are things that are technically going to be allowed, but on the level of either a David HaMelech or the level of other people, it's not the right thing to do. So what we will do, again, a little different than usual, I think we're going to revisit this same perek next week, but try and understand it a bit more in depth, and then we'll get back to our regular pace. But try to understand, through the lens of Chazal, how can it be? How did they understand what took place with David? What David's calculations were? And again, we'll have a different lens in appreciating what he did, what his mistake was, because again, obviously there was a mistake, and Perek Yud Beis, when we get to it, is going to go through his tshuva process. He did go through a tshuva process, but we have to understand the level to which that chet rises, and make sure that we're not accusing David of things that he did not do. So we will stop here again, Lina. We will revisit the same Perek next week, and I hopefully have a much clearer explanation, understanding of a very complicated topic.